37 cars, 14 manufacturers, and over 100 drivers. Welcome to the 2024 season of the World Endurance Championship, and what a season it is building up to be. I'm Alexa Rendell, and I'm joined by Sam Smith to talk about everything you need to know ahead of this year's competition, because we've already spoken about LMGT3 in another video. You should go and watch that if you want to check it out. Hear us rambling even more. But for now, let's dive into this Qatar circuit, because somehow, whilst we've been recording, it's got even more windy, it's got more dusty. What else have our drivers got to contend with this weekend?
Well, the wind and the dust is just one part of the challenge that the drivers might face this weekend. I think, yeah, it's like Bahrain. Yeah, a little bit of wind kicks up the dust and the dirt, and you effectively get one line on the track. So go off that line, you lose the grip.
Good luck.
Yeah, and you're off into the scenery. Yeah, thankfully there's a lot of scenery here, and you can go into the runoff area. But I mean, the fact that we mentioned this in the LMGT3 category as well. The fact that if you do go offline, you're on constant radius. Corners, meaning that there's a long flowing left or a long flowing right, and that can really hurt the tyres. So you've got to find that balance of pace, but just be a little bit more gentle on the tyres if you are able to do that during your stint.
And before we dive into each of our manufacturers individually and what we can expect, I think it's only right that we take a moment for just how incredible this grid now is.
It's awesome, literally awesome. I can't remember a time in this championship where there was this abundance, this absolute array of manufacturers, and stellar manufacturers as well. You know, we're talking Ferrari now, BMW are coming in, Lamborghini joining Toyota, Porsche, Ferrari. I mean, it's just absolutely exceptional. I think what we're going to get is an even closer contest than last season. We saw Ferrari and Porsche as the ones that looked as though that they would be going to be able to challenge the all-conquering Toyotas. And I think this year they're going to get tantalisingly close to doing that over the duration of a season.
And looking ahead to this season overall, we've touched on the new qualifying format a few times in the LMGT3 video, but what can we expect from that?
Yeah, Hyperpole is coming to WEC full-time now. Woo-hoo! Isn't it? Not just Le Mans, which is going to be thrilling.
Yeah.
I think that concept works super well. So to have a top 10 going through to their own separate session, mm-hmm, just cranks up the excitement pre-race. I mean, in terms of how it might affect the championship, I think actually it's more important to look at the point structure, because we've got a topping and tailing of the championship with bigger points. There's 38 on offer here in Qatar, and then we finish the season with the same amount of points available in Bahrain. So getting a really quick start, getting out the blocks really super fast is going to be not critical, but it's going to be super important for a title campaign.
And delving into all of our teams one by one, it's only right that we start with our reigning champions, Toyota. Not a huge amount to report from there. A new livery, a new driver. Talk us through it.
Well, no one stands still. You know, they finished at Bahrain. Not only did they do the rookie test, they then stayed on further to do more testing. Gives you an idea of their commitment and just their precision, the perfection of trying to improve what they've already got, which is extremely fast hypercar. The big news, I suppose, is the fact that Nyck de Vries, their reserve driver for a couple of years, is coming into that team, replacing Jose Maria Lopez. De Vries has proved himself in many other categories, a champion in Formula E, had a stint in Formula One.
Already had some success at Le Mans as well.
Absolutely. Who can forget that super sub drive that he did in 2022 for TDS? So Nyck will fit in there seamlessly. You know, with Mike Conway and Kamui Kobayashi, super experienced drivers that he'll just soak up their knowledge of that car, and I think they'll hit the ground running pretty quickly.
How about we move on to Ferrari? Because again, not a massive amount to report from the factory camp, but we have a new privateer entry, a fairy tale story with Robert Kubica, and a little bit of a rivalry possibly forming with UFAA. Spill the beans, Sam.
Yeah, it's a nice story, this. I mean, Ferrari going to be three in this series now. You know, we've got four from Porsche, but we're going to have an extra Ferrari, this fantastic hypercar that, you know, wrote that fairy tale at Le Mans last season, the number 83 car, which is going to have a kind of a reverse colour effect. It's going to be predominantly yellow.
You can't miss it.
Which is one of the you know, as well as red, is one of the classic Ferrari colours. And, you know, Formula One cars ran in yellow. You know, the sports cars ran in yellow in the 60s on occasion as well. But the big thing here is the stellar lineup that they have, Robert Kubica. And within that, there is a genuine fairy tale, because Robert was scheduled to drive for Ferrari in Formula One back in, I think, 2012. He was scheduled to be a teammate of Fernando Alonso in that season. That is a nice story. And I think Robert driving with that Prancing Horse badge on his lapels, added to what he showed last season, becoming LMP2 champion, it'll be a really potent force there, supported by FIA. It's moved across from the Jota team,
the Porsche powered car,
to AF course, to Ferrari AF course. And then we've got also the third driver, Robert Schwartzman, who is a well decorated junior single seater driver, driven in GT3 in the past couple of seasons. And Robert is a driver who was destined for F1 stardom, didn't quite make it. But I think in terms of what he can build as an endurance career, I think he's one of the top young drivers to probably achieve that in the next few years.
Cadillac next. Their season really started to come together, qualifying P3 in Bahrain. That momentum should be carrying on into this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think they learned a lot last season. It ended a bit disappointingly. They had some first lap incidents, remember, at Fuji and in Bahrain, and got a penalty. It kind of ruined their race. But the data gathered and the knowledge bank they've got for that V Series R, I think they could be a genuine dark horse for some more podiums and even a bit more this season. I think it's going to be interesting as well to see, there's kind of going to be a bit of a change in the third driver there. Alex Lynn and Earl Bamber stay with the number two. Here, Sebastian Bourdais, a legend of international racing, full stop, is in the car. And then they're going to use just two drivers in Spa. And then we're going to see, really exciting, looking ahead a bit, Alex Palou, the multiple IndyCar champion, coming in at Le Mans, which is going to be a whole different story we're going to be talking about in June. But yeah, Cadillac, I think, will be really hoping they can kick on. And I don't see why, from what they learned last season, that they can get some more really positive results this year.
Now to come to Porsche. Five Porsche power cars now in the championship. Let's start off with the factory pairing. They had a very successful Daytona. And now with Matt Campbell joining the side, can we expect even more from them this season?
Absolutely we can. I think we saw in Fuji last September what's possible with that car. They've been working super hard in the off-season. Obviously, they had a stellar Daytona, won the Daytona 24 Hours. Matt Campbell, who I really rate, I've watched him come up through the junior ranks of sports cars and GT racing. And I think he'll be a great addition to the team. He's come in for Dane Cameron, who's racing back in IMSA this
big
season.
Switch.
Yeah, I think... If they can get on top of their car, you know, the traction element was something that they had to improve on last season, and the overall handling, particularly in the slow sectors. You know, they seem to have got on top of that at Sector 3 in Fuji and were quick. And I don't see why Porsche can't start nudging Ferrari to be one of the main protagonists to try and knock Toyota off their perch. So, yeah, I expect a big season for Porsche Penske this year.
Not just Porsche Penske, let's talk about their customer teams, because Jota, now with two hypercars, arguably one of the most exciting driver lineups, bringing in Jenson Button, the former Formula One world champion. Is there potential for wins, podiums here?
There's no fool's gold, it's only pure gold with Jota, like, so this season. I mean, what a story. You know, they came on board at Spa last minute. You know, they had a difficult start. They were always going to have that, but they made the most of it. And then they led Le Mans, had a crash at Le Mans, and then they started to get some good consistency with that Porsche. The big story, though, everyone's talking about is Jenson Button coming to the WEC, his second bite of the WEC after racing for SMP a few seasons ago in LMP1. Jenson Button and a hypercar, it's like a marriage made in heaven. You know, he's the eternal motorsport enthusiast, isn't it? Yeah. If you've not seen some of his words on Instagram, go and watch it, because it's just pure fever that he has for these type of cars. So I think, to answer your question in a roundabout way, yes, Jota can absolutely upset the apple carts. They proved last season, as did Proton in some of the races, that they can get on a par and get between, and if not ahead of the Porsche Penske cars. So, you know, Callum Ilott is in that 28 car
now.
Norman Nato's joined as well. He's got a great deal of experience. Oliver Rasmussen and Philip Hansen with Jenson Button. They got quality. They got experience. They've got young bucks. They've got all the ingredients they need to make a really, really spectacular season. I'm sure they will.
You mentioned Proton just then. Please elaborate. What can we expect from them this year? As we walk past their garage, looking at perhaps one of the most talked about liveries of the season.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? It's like a shot in the arm of nostalgia. You know, if you're as old as I am, and I know you're not.
Sorry.
1994, the FAT, the Fat Turbo, as it was called, the dour Porsche 962, won Le Mans with Mauro Baldi and Hurley Hayward in that car. Yannick Dalmas as well, the Wexone Yannick Dalmas was part of that victorious crew. Yeah, just a lovely story to see that livery on a modern hypercar. Mm-hmm. And they're completely capable of causing some upsets as well. I mean, again, we saw it last season, Neil Jarny mm-hmm. and Harry Tingle in that car. And isn't it nice to see Julian Anlauer getting a promotion to hypercar? Yeah, it's really nice to see both Anlauer and also Matt Campbell as well making the upgrade to hypercar.
Now for Peugeot, I'd like to say there's not a lot of change here because ultimately they're driving the same livery, the same car for this race, but there's some internal changes between the drivers and the way they've got them split between the two cars.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a reshuffle there. I think, and it's not normal, that often doesn't happen.
Mm.
But what's going to happen, you talked about changes, there's none at the minute. There's going to be a whole load of changes coming for Imola in April because that car's going to have a significant upgrade. It's going to look different, it's going to feel different. And I think probably Peugeot are going to just have a little bit of an experiment here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the terms of the equivalence throughout the hypercar field, I think it's going to be quite favourable for them here. If you're looking for a shock, and wouldn't it be interesting for the last kind of iteration of this hypercar, then look at Peugeot, because I've just got a feeling that in their last race with this configuration of car, they could make a real shock. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're able to reprise what they did in Monza last season and get a cheeky podium out of this one.
I like that idea a lot. How about we move on to our new cars coming into the championship this season, our new manufacturers, starting off with Alpine. I was at their launch. They're not even quietly confident. They're quite vocally confident in their car and its capabilities.
Well, they should be. I mean, they've got a nice car. You know, the driver's feedback is that it's got a lot of potential. I still think it'll take them a bit of time.
Just maybe.
They've got some continuity in terms of the squad that are running it, the Signatec team that is the basis of the operational entity of Alpine. They got a great spread of drivers, you know, Charles Milesi, Ferdinand Habsburg, you know, LMP2 champion from a few seasons ago. But in terms of the headline grabber, it's obviously Mick Schumacher.
Yes.
Mick Schumacher's going to be there, and he's going to really, I think, soak off a lot of that experience from Nicolas Lapierre as well, who's got such a wealth of success in endurance racing. And it's just a great story because Mick Schumacher, he's been in Formula One for a few seasons. He's kind of almost done a little bit of a reverse to his father, of course, because his old man, one of the greatest drivers of ever, let's face it. Started off in sports cars back in 1990 with Saab and Mercedes. So a nice kind of family story there.
BMW now, and I think anyone who's sort of familiar with endurance racing will know that they've already been competing in IMSA with this car. It's not a brand new car coming into the WEC. They've already taken a win over stateside. Mm. Could we expect the same from them again here in the WEC?
I think it'll probably be too early to expect that.
Fine.
I think not only have they got some good data from racing in IMSA, but you know, it's a different entity racing in the WEC. Obviously the circuits are different. Obviously the tyres are different. There are certain nuances within the sporting makeup of the championship as well. I think they'll be solid, and I think that they'll have lots of promise.
Oh.
From an operational standpoint, an organisation, WRT, you don't get much better than that.
And but a strong driver lineup too.
A very good driver lineup. René Rast, Robin Freins is obviously in there as well. You know, you've got some really exciting prospects in that car. I think the interesting thing from my point of view is seeing how Raffaele Marchiello goes.
Yes.
You know, he's got a reputation as big as this pit lane in terms of what he's achieved
and his caliber
in GT driving. Now he's in a hypercar. I expect that Marchiello will be eventually one of the stories of the season, just his raw pace and what he's able to do with that car. The interesting thing for me is how they're going to perform in their tyres. Word is from testing that there has been a challenge with getting sufficient stints out of their rubber, but that's something again that they can work on. You know, other manufacturers did that last season, overcame it and eventually got it sorted. So I think give them time, let's see how they get up into sort of Le Mans territory, and I think that they could be pretty rapid from Le Mans and Le Mans onwards.
Lamborghini next. I think that they've had sort of similar issues in testing coming into this, probably one of the least experienced teams coming into this weekend. They've had the least amount of track time.
Yeah.
Could a very strong driver lineup perhaps make up for it? A strong team powering that car?
Yeah, a little bit like BMW in a sense, but probably even more so. They need more time. They need,
it's their first race, right?
They need mileage. I mean, you know, they're the bull, aren't they? The raging bull is the symbol of Lamborghini. So the temptation will be to go out there and try and smash it. But I think they're sensible enough, and they've got a lot of technical drivers in that team. Daniel Kvyat, Mirko Bortolotti, of course. And then at Le Mans, we're going to see Romain Grosjean in the car. I think they're going to have to use at least this race, if not Imola as well, on their home ground, to just kind of understand and just try and get every part of the data congealed into something that they can work with in the rest of the season. So I don't expect much from the Lamborghini SC63, but I think eventually they'll get on top of everything and they'll be able to get into the top six mix, I think, by the end of the year.
And quite aptly, we are literally walking past the Isotta garage. What can you tell me about this team? Because this isn't a car manufacturer that people may likely have heard of before.
I mean, it's got a heritage dating back, you know, decades and decades, way back to the sort of 1930s era. It's been rejuvenated. It's been reprised. It's an interesting project. They've done some testing with it. Jean-Carl Vernet's in that car.
Yes.
So it's got a good caliber of lead driver, let's call it, in there. Mm-hmm. They are the underdogs. I think, you know, getting into a top 12 position is going to be their aim for this season. I don't expect more, but let's hope that it's a long program and in the long term that they can achieve something.
Well, they're a very popular car amongst the fans. But what I want to ask you about is, what is the storyline that you're looking forward to this season? Which is the car that maybe, for anyone who's not watched the WEC before, they should be following along with this year?
I want to see that shining gold upsetting Ferrari, Toyota and Porsche next season, this season. I think in terms of what they could achieve with both of their lineups is what you call a shock result. And, you know, I don't see why, you know, if some of the races are attritional and they get their chances, or if there's weather, you know, I mean, Jenson Button in the wet has always been very special in the wet. The feel and just the dexterity of his reflexes really, you know, that they never die. You know, he may be over 40 now, but he's still got them. And, it, you know, what a story it would be if Jenson Button gets to stand on top of a podium. I think that would be a phenomenal story in the recent history of the WEC.
As we head into the night here in Qatar, it's only right that they've turned the lights on us, because there is a spotlight on the World Endurance Championship heading into this weekend. The hypercars and the LMG GT3s are going to be putting on a show around this absolutely gorgeous track. Thank you so much for joining me, Sam. And if you didn't check it out already, the LMG GT3 preview for this weekend is already available on our YouTube channel. We'll see you next time.